Welcome to ITB Berlin's Travel Hero podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte Lamp-Davies, with management consultancy A Bright Approach. In this episode, we're exploring one of the many fascinating shifts happening in travel today, the evolution of luxury. Luxury is often associated with five-star hotels, first-class flights, and exclusivity. But today's traveler is asking different questions. They're looking for meaningful experiences, authenticity, personalization, well-being, sustainability, and access. In many cases, time has become the ultimate luxury. So, what does luxury really mean in 2026? What are affluent travelers prioritizing? And is luxury becoming more inclusive or more exclusive than ever? To help us answer these questions, I'm delighted to welcome two industry experts. Joining us is Stuart Greif of Forbes Travel Guide. He is a global authority on luxury hospitality standards and ratings. Stuart and I have had the pleasure of working together before, and he's a dear industry friend of mine. We also have with us the lovely Janet Semenova, who is co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors. Janet works closely with discerning travelers and luxury travel brands around the world. Welcome both.
It's wonderful to be here again with you, Charlotte.
Thank you for having us.
It's my absolute pleasure. Might I ask you, Stuart, for our audience to tell us a little bit about your journey at this point into the industry first?
Yeah, I had kind of a circuitous journey. I was a guest at first, living out of hotels for many years as a consultant. In fact, I lived out of a hotel for 18 months in a 22-month period. And something in that was just in my DNA. I spent more time hanging out in my 20s, I'll use the technical term, partying with the hotel staff than I did with my consultants. And then many years later, I had the opportunity to lead J.D. Power's global travel practice. I served as Microsoft's global exec in travel. I also then went to a startup that Microsoft CEO put me in touch with as their travel lead that became a unicorn. And now for the past 6.5 years, I've been Forbes Travel Guide's Chief Strategy Innovation Officer and focused primarily in the luxury portion of the market, but still playing a role in innovation across the broader ecosystem in our industry.
Janet, tell us a little bit about how you landed in the space of luxury and travel.
So my journey is very different from Stuart's. I didn't actually start in travel. I started in healthcare, in pediatrics, and have always been fascinated with travel. I think it's an extraordinary gift to be able to travel the world. You know, I was born in the former Soviet Union. When I was a child, we didn't have the opportunity to travel. It wasn't allowed. And when we immigrated to the United States, I was 7. And I remember my mom clearly saying, one of the greatest gifts in America is the freedom of the US passport. I didn't really quite understand what it meant as a child. And as I got older, I really came to appreciate the freedom that comes with having a United States passport and the privilege of being able to travel around the world and meet people from all sorts of destinations. So when I got married and had children, it was a big priority of ours, and a big portion of our budget, of our discretionary spending, was always allocated to travel. And luxury travel for me means, I think it's different for every single person. To me, luxury travel is the ability to go to destinations that are hard to get to. It's the ability to be able to show my children the world and to meet locals in a really authentic way. And so in 2017, my business partner and I started Boutique Travel Advisors with the goal of helping other family members initially and parents appreciate and understand that travel is a lot more accessible than we tend to think it is. And international travel and remote destinations are surprisingly accessible for families with even young children. And that's how we started. And then we've evolved as we've grown and my children have grown. And we now service a wide variety of different luxury travel markets and different luxury destinations and niches.
I would say that even though Janet said that she didn't start in travel, being pediatrics from a heart of caring for others, I think you have the DNA to begin with. That is at luxury at the essence, whether it's Janet's leadership in the industry on the kind of high net worth, ultra high net worth luxury traveler, or what we do in the industry side and supporting the providers, hotels, restaurants, spa, cruise, et cetera. It's really about caring for others. And sometimes the business squeezes that out in ways that we forget about. And I think it, in a very happy way, we're kind of returning to that as a focal point.
My second question was going to be, when you hear the word luxury, what's the first thing that sort of comes to mind? And I think, Stuart, you've already touched on that for sure. But maybe, Janet, we'll get you back in here. What do you think about when you hear the word luxury?
You know, to me, luxury is deeply human. And I think it's funny, it's always been deeply human. You know, hospitality is about people connecting with other people. That is the entire premise of what hospitality has been built on for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And we don't travel so that we can interact with a chatbot. We travel so that we can meet people. We travel so that we can experience food and culture and chefs and guides and human beings from other destinations that are deeply immersed and rooted in their culture and their heritage. And so now more than ever, luxury has kind of come full circle back to the people.
I think that what we're also seeing is that luxury travelers today really seem to be much more conscious and informed than they ever were before. I wonder if you both could elaborate a little bit on this and maybe tell us what you see as the biggest changes that you have sort of seen and observed in traveler expectations over, I don't know, the last 3 to 5 years. Janet, I'll go to you first again, please, if that's okay.
We talk a lot about the word personalization, and in luxury, that's always been the differentiating factor, right? Anyone can go online, or it used to be that you could pick up the phone and book a hotel. You could, you know, order taking. That's not luxury. Luxury is personalization. I think now the expectations for personalization are becoming higher. And so whereas before, personalization might have meant I check into my hotel and I have a nice welcome note that says, "Dear Janet, thank you for, you know, we're so excited to have you have the most wonderful time in Paris." Now personalization is, "Dear Janet, welcome to Paris. We know that you love croissants and fresh fruit. So we've picked up this croissant from a local bakery. This is the story of the owner of the bakery that makes them. And then here's a little map that kind of guides you through all the famous bakeries and our favorite bakeries in this area." You know, really deeply understanding who the person is that's coming to your property if it's a hotel. And if it's a family traveling, what are the interests of their children? What are the pain points that they're going to experience or that they're worried about? So knowing the human behind, kind of before they arrive in destination, that's where we're seeing luxury really trending.
One thing to arrive on a property and be, you know, recognized and welcome, but people want to be known. And so, you know, good example, my wife and I, we went to the Waldorf Astoria in Osaka. It was a special trip. My wife and I had met through studying Japanese when we were 19, 20 years old. We dated 2 years later before she flew halfway around the world to teach in Japan. She's lived there 2 times. I've lived 3. It was the first time we were able to bring our kids there. And we'd been in our teen years, we had actually spent a summer in the same city a year apart in Japan. So deeply important to us individually as a couple and our kids for the first time that's there. And I shared a little bit of thanks to some of the other GMs in Japan that when I'd been traveling, and I included a little bit about that story and a picture of my wife and I from when we were 19 and 20 years old back in the day. Well, we came back to turndown service one night and there was a lovely amenity in our room, and right next to it was a beautiful frame. And I know you can't see this because this is voice, but it's a picture of my wife and I from there that they had found in researching, and beautiful writing saying, "Some journeys stay with us forever, becoming stories that continue new together. Welcome back." And so this is beautiful, but it costs very little, like in terms of cost and time. And yet you talk about a big impact. And the difference between hotels that are doing this well, you know, at a 5-star level with 4, is really about consistency. It's consistency across departments. It's consistency for a guest within his or her stay. It's consistency across all the guests, and it's consistency over time. The other thing I'll say is just kind of a last quick point, is this notion, and Janet touched on it, and you did, Charlotte, too, this notion of transformation, of not just kind of, you know, the experience. People still want it curated. They don't really want to be out in a field picking, for example, some vegetables in a farm for 8 hours in the hot sun all day, right? They want to have an experience, but they want to authentically connect in their passions first and the things that activate them as a human being, oftentimes choosing destination second, or to Janet's point, looking to get out to places, hidden gems that nobody else knows about. They want that which is rare, that seems more exclusive, not that there can't be any other people there. in a way that's deeply aligned to who they are and what activates them as human beings. And so I think that notion of caring, that notion of connection, of being known, not just recognized or welcomed, is what we're seeing the shift. Yes, transformation travel has always existed, but the proportion to which that's a deeper and deeper focus, I think, is really on the increase in a major trend.
I know, Janet, obviously in your line of work, you speak directly to travelers every day. And I'm wondering, is there anything specifically that springs to mind that they're asking for now that they didn't ask for, you know, sort of previously? And we've spoken about personalization, but is there any other areas that are being looked at or asked for?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting, you know, travelers are, we're kind of ahead of the curve, right? So we're seeing the trends as they really start to emerge. One of the things that I'm seeing a lot more of on that connection piece is the connection to the culinary traditions of the destinations that clients are traveling to. More than ever, we are seeing people request cooking classes and farm to table experiences. And to Stuart's point, they don't want to be out in the field for 8 hours, but they want to go to the market and they want to pick the vegetables with the chef. And then they want to bring those vegetables to the chef's home and then prepare this beautiful meal that they can then enjoy together. You know, I think that food and culture have always been deeply intertwined. And now we're seeing travelers recognize that when they have those meaningful culinary experiences, that's not just a memorable Michelin star meal, but a truly immersive experience that they have memories that kind of go with them for many, many years.
I wonder if we can talk a little bit about sort of values and purpose and this thing that's themed conscientious luxury. I mean, is this genuine? Are you seeing that luxury travelers genuinely are prioritizing, shall we say, sustainability and community impact? Maybe we can go to you, Stuart, on this one.
The twist is that many may be missing, which is they absolutely want that, welcome that. It is increasingly difficult to be considered luxury, much less even be chosen if you're not kind of forward-leaning, even if there may feel like there's less sustainability of a focus, for example, in certain markets like the US, where it's not as front and center. The reality is we as an industry need to make it easier because it's confusing, because it's not easy to understand, because it's not on the consumer, whether it's luxury or otherwise, to know how best when they stay at a hotel or otherwise to have that impact. So we need to both inform Focusrite, provide some wonderful data on this. I know, Charlotte, you work directly with them globally and have a stake and play a leading role in this, the say-do gap, that as long as they're informed upfront as to it, they'll make more sustainable choices. I also think the other piece of that is, you know, you have to get away from this greenwashing of everybody saving the same proverbial tree with, you know, a carbon offset and make it real. I love Kind Traveler, which partners with hotels and destinations, experience providers. So guests provide a small donation or more as they like. The actual provider of that, you know, hotel or experience or DMO chooses a local impact organization aligned to UN goals, and 100% of that donation goes to whether it's feeding families at risk or saving wildlife. And so I think increasingly things like that, where people can have a direct impact, right, where they're able to do that without themselves having to do, you know, all sorts of research and then wonder whether or not, you know, the money they chipped in for a carbon offset's actually doing something, is extremely vital. And I think generationally, it absolutely is. You see more and more brands, you know, that are doing that. And then I think there's also industry-wide innovation. Each of us does our own, but, and this is a combination of destinations and governments that I know ITB Berlin plays a leading role in partnering with, as well as public-private, of something like sustainable aviation fuel or new kind of construction for hotels. Those are things that any one player would be challenged alone to do that is going to be stepwise improvement in terms of impact on the environment and cultures in which we are. Over tourism is another, you know, big area as well.
I would like to go back and talk a little bit more about the sort of personalization aspect of it. You've both contributed some wonderful stories, both personal and also from your travelers. I mean, what, again, Janet, maybe what to you does exceptional personalization look like? You've touched on it, but maybe we can go a little bit deeper here.
Yeah, so I mean, I can share a couple of anecdotes of some of my personal most memorable travel experiences that I think, to Stuart's point, didn't really cost the hotels anything at all, but they were tremendously impactful. I was at the St. Regis shortly after they opened in Kenai and Riviera Maya. And what they did is they actually called my husband and I, we were celebrating a special occasion like Stuart, and they called my husband, unbeknownst to me, before we arrived and said, what does she love? What are her passions? He said, she loves to read. And they said, well, what's her favorite book? And he said, well, Love in the Time of Cholera. My husband happens to know it's my favorite book. I have it on my nightstand. I've read it a dozen times. When we arrived at the hotel, they literally had recreated a replica of Love in the Time of Cholera in the form of a beautiful cake with all of this gorgeous fresh fruit and all of these things. And it was a perfect replica of the original cover of Love in the Time of Cholera. Now, this one maybe took a little bit more time and a little bit more thought, but it was one of the most memorable welcome amenities I think I could have ever asked for. And then on the flip side of that, we were recently at the Evian Resort in France, which is a beautiful, magnificent property, and everything about that hotel is gorgeous. But I love adventure. To me, luxury, again, is adventure and doing things that are hard to access. And so it was my birthday, and my husband said, what do you want to do on your birthday? And I said, well, I really would love to go ice diving. We're certified scuba divers. I want to go dive in a frozen lake. So they have a fantastic adventure center. They set us up. We did this incredible experience diving under a frozen lake. And when we came back to our hotel that night, our guide had printed a photo of both of us that he had taken on his phone. We didn't even really know he had taken it, printed it, framed it, and put it with a beautiful note in our room. I have that photo actually sitting on my nightstand, much like Stuart probably does. And it will always stay with me. I will never forget that experience. I will never forget the warmth and welcome. And that's the deeply human connection piece, but it has to be intentional. And every single employee and every single person who works for the company, the hotel, the tourism organization has to be deeply encouraged to provide that personalization, to go the extra mile, to do things, you know, that are surprising, that are not what you usually expect a luxury hotel or hospitality professional to do. And if they're encouraged to do that, people are really creative. I don't think that it's a script that he followed to print this photo of us ice diving. I think it's something that he felt that we would really enjoy. He knew it was a special day for us. And so he took the initiative to do that. But we have to encourage people to want to do that and to kind of understand that those are the moments that resonate deeply with the traveler.
We call those, you know, golden nuggets about traveler. And you know, even with AI and technology, in some ways, you know, part of the challenge, luxury has always done that with a lot of labor, you know, notes, different systems, it's hard to access. Actually, AI and technology is helping better connect that. So there's a company, for example, Abra Hospitality, ABRA. It's kind of last mile delivery of the luxury service experience. It's this missing link because a lot of people, right, somebody hears something in one part of the hotel about, let's say, Janet and her husband, and how is that conveyed and captured? So that technology is helping now, I think, bridge that at scale at luxury, and they're fantastic. Even a step before that, you know, when the internet came out, right, travel advisors are going away. And then the OTAs came up, travel advisors are going away. And then with AI, travel advisors going away. And the irony is, like, that's actually true, but that's the wrong question. Because at each turn, travel advisors did go away. The question is, which ones? The ones that were just transactional, that were just basically executing that which you can self-service. Actually, luxury travel advisors' demand has gone up, you know, coming out of COVID with younger generations. And that degree to which the advisor, understanding your context, Janet's done something amazing. She's one of the most innovative, I think, tech forward agency owners and founders in terms of tech enabling ways to better connect based on a given trip, the guest and their context and their background with hotels and different experiences of what is right. The advisor is trusted because there's a quote, McKinsey had this in a slide from one of the CEOs of major, you know, travel companies saying, you know, there's no lack of answers. What really impresses a luxury, a well-to-do customer is somebody that asks penetrating questions, right? Because that's really getting at understanding why somebody's traveling, what's important to them, and that comes over time. So the hotels are doing it with what they can, but that's a partnership, which they love the advisors, including Janet and others, who are able to help connect the dots with the guests that come there and really create those wonderful personalized experiences. And now technology is helping make that maybe not, I would say, easier, more efficient, more powerful, and able to do that for more guests more frequently than you could in the past.
I think technology, to Stuart's point, really allows us for the first time maybe in history to create what we call the connected trip, where it's not just a series of disparate bookings and, you know, disparate like pieces of the puzzle, where you can really connect the traveler to the destination, to the hotel, to the guide, to the restaurants that they're visiting, and preempt their needs and desires. I think technology, especially with AI and the speed at which AI is growing and enhancing its capabilities, I think technology is going to enable us to do that really well. For us, what we use technology for is all of the behind the scenes things. So we want to power our advisors to be able to deliver an extraordinary, exceptional, deeply personal experience to the traveler, and to help the advisor ask the right questions, parse the information correctly to really do the beautiful matching that's required to match the traveler to the right guide, to the right destination, to the right hotel, to the right flow of the trip, and to help them do that in a way that feels really natural and really personal. And technology does that really well. And so all of the tools that we're looking at, that we're developing on the luxury segment, is not really about the client-facing innovation, because we want technology to be behind the scenes so that the human beings at the center of hospitality can come out from, you know, behind the desk and come out of their back offices and interact more deeply with the travelers.
It is exciting. We can soon move on. Soon we won't have to say or talk about the connected trip, because it will finally be working. You know, that's what we're all looking forward to, I think.
And Charlotte, I think ironically, technology is actually going to make the actual lived experience. I mean, we're a business where in real life, the rubber meets the road. There's a ground truth in the hospitality. When somebody comes on your property or to your experience or on your airline or on your cruise, whatever it may be. And what I mean by that is, you know, even in the age of agentic search, all of the things that people are talking about, which they need to do to be seen, ultimately, it's going to come down when I get 5 or 7 personalized recommendations, or through an advisor that is kind of knowing me, is, you know, what's my reputation? McKinsey said that's 20% or less is what you're saying about yourself on your website and your marketing, etc. 80% is your reputation. That's how advisors and agencies like the one Janet leaves, or why Forbes Travel Guide consistently shows up as the top, because we focus on service in the LLMs for what are the best kind of luxury hotels. And in an era of AI schlock and proliferation of content, trusted unique voices like yours, like ITB Berlin, like Focusrite, etc., are standing out as experts. And ultimately, the hotels and the service providers that understand that cut, cut, cut to profitability, squeeze, squeeze, squeeze in the short term, is essentially commoditizing and making you unremarkable, that you're not going to stand out in a good way, no matter what you say or what legacy or heritage, unless you're building on the experience and people are talking about you and people are earned media and bloggers and different news sites. Unless you're actually living it, which is the actual experience you're providing, you're not going to show up in that subset of results. Nobody says, show me the 5 mediocre hotels at my price point near this, right? They want one where they, you know, that's a great experience, right? They want something that stands out, both in terms of what's unique about the hotel. So I think that's going to help break out a bit of this beigeification of luxury, of what is really distinct and unique. What's your point of view? What's something somebody else doesn't have? And it doesn't mean other hotels won't be around. They'll still be viable. They may be part of a big loyalty program or in a convenient location or still get enough traffic, but they're not really going to stand out in the way that is going to drive their business into the future.
We slowly have to begin to wrap up, but I was hoping we might do sort of a final quick fire round. And one trend that's overrated at the moment, Stuart.
The AI personal trip planning. I think that is, you know, far off and not really that great, and won't be for a long time. No offense to anyone in that space.
Yeah. Okay, I've got another one for you, Janet. One trend that's underestimated.
Well, and this is not a personal plug, but I think it really is the truth. It's the return of the luxury travel advisor. And I mean advisor in the true sense of advising. The people that you trust with your most precious possession, which is time and family, right? So with AI and social media and all this endless online content, travelers have more information than ever before, but more information does not always lead to better decision-making. In many ways, it actually creates a lot more noise, and people increasingly are looking for a human being, a trusted partner that can clear the noise and really provide them valuable judgment, knowing again, which hotel is right for the client, which destination makes sense for a particular season, whether that's the season of the year or the season in their life, the season in their childhood and their journey, when to avoid the obvious choices, how to advocate when something goes wrong. I think advocacy is a huge pain point right now because again, with all this AI and all this technology, nobody wants to call a call center. A luxury traveler does not want to sit on the phone for 30 minutes. Luxury is a person who cares, who asks, what's going on? How do I help you get through this? How do I meet you where you are in, you know, if there's a life event that's changing? So I think it's that human judgment and the care, the personalized care of somebody that actually wants, is personally vested in the success of your travel journey.
As we close, I want from each of you one word that you think will define luxury travel in the future. It's a tough one, but one word.
Human.
Oh, I was going to use that one.
On three, ready? One, two, three.
Human.
There we go.
I love it. And I think that will have to be the most perfect place to wrap up. Of course, the more we know each other, the more detail we have about one another, the better, you know, these advisors will service all of us out there, you know. And what we want really is this personal experience, which is what luxury to some extent all boils down to. Thank you both very much for joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you, Charlotte.
What's very clear, I think, from today's discussion is that luxury is really no longer defined solely just by wealth or exclusivity. I think it is, as we have discussed increasingly, about time well spent, personalization, well-being, and experiences that really create some genuine connections. And a little reminder to please join us next year at ITB Berlin's Home of Luxury Hall, where hopefully both Janet and Stuart will be around to give you more of their wonderful insights. Thank you both again for being wonderful travel heroes today.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
And thanks, of course, to our listeners for joining the ITB Berlin Travel Hero podcast. Next month, we will take a look at how the travel industry is adapting its ways through AI, which we have also touched on today. Until then, safe travels.